Well, to say that I know the Billets for a long time would be an understatement. I think by most accounts, when one talks about 40 years, I think that qualifies as a long time. Actually, it's more than that. Whether I billeted, well, both of you, it's 45 years. Anyway, Rabbi Heshy Billet, who, of course, one of the great American rabbinic leaders, I don't think anybody would argue with that, for decades, and Rabbanit Ruki Billet, one of the great Jewish studies and yeshiva administration leaders over the last many, many decades. They are both here in our temporary studio, Nefesh B'Nefesh in Jerusalem. It really is an honor to welcome you both to JM and AM. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
I appreciate that very
Thank
much.
You you're, for you're, inviting
you're,
us.
You're a former student of mine, and it's and so is Yigal, your brother, right, who is here. It's an honor to see how much the two of you have accomplished in everything that you do. And to do public relations for the Jewish people anytime is hard, but very important, and in this time especially, we need all the good PR we can get, and you guys do it great.
I appreciate that very much, and I know you get great nachas from that, which is quite heartwarming. Well, I'll tell you why you're here. You're here because, not that this was a revelation to me, but it was certainly confirmed by all the people who have been visiting Israel and have seen you in the last few weeks. The two of you are gaining a reputation for participating in chesed projects and important projects that might or might not be chesed as much as possible in the average day. And when this was told to us, I said, we must speak to both of you because if anybody, and number one, you can give us a report about all the different things that are going on in this country. But number two, as you know, 6,000 miles away, there's a limit to what American Jewry really knows about what's going on here. And we've pointed that out during our different trips to Israel over the last few weeks. I guess we should start then with that. I would assume as you think back to both of your positions in synagogue life and education, you must be very proud of those who took the time from all areas of North America to descend in Washington, D.C. yesterday.
Absolutely. It is so important for Israel to get support in public relations. We get a lot of bad press all over the world, and it's important for the world to see that the Jewish people care about the Jewish state. And it's important also to know that there are non-Jews who are also supportive of the Jewish state, and we appreciate all the help we could get. We're very proud that all of our family, we have four children in America, every single family from Florida to Philadelphia to New York
and New Jersey
were all at the rally in Washington yesterday.
And it seems it went well. It seems it was a good program, and it went well, and that's...
I watched it and listened to it, and I thought the speakers were definitely expressing their solidarity. Right. I was especially moved by the recitation for the Tefillah Lamdina. Maybe there could have been a little bit more Tehillim, but it was very respectable. And for me also, just to see the gentle and appropriate way that Jews conducted themselves when they make a public demonstration, as opposed to others, it was a Kiddush Hashem.
100%.
And it was great to see Israeli flags and American flags.
That weren't being ripped down.
It's good
burnt.
It's good to see that the Jewish people in America appreciate America. They're patriots to America. There's a lot to appreciate about America. For us living in the state of Israel, we appreciate it. And there's, of course, a lot to appreciate about the Jewish state and the sacrifices that are being made here every day now.
Well said. Where did the two of you spend Shemini Atzeres?
We were home in our apartment in Yerushalayim. We actually had a family. Our Philadelphia children were with us, with two children. My son-in-law's brother was also in Yerushalayim nearby at his sister's, and he is a longtime member of the IDF and in the reserves.
Oh, gosh.
And he was called up on that very day.
So you knew immediately urgency of the situation.
We didn't know anything.
But I did.
You knew he was called up. I was sitting in shul.
Right.
I was in shul.
It's Shabbos morning, Shemini Atzeres.
And there's an older gentleman who sits toward the front who says, I think I hear something, because it was very faint. He goes outside. He says, there's Yesh Azaka. There's a siren. And then what do we do? You know, so the women in the shul said, we have to go downstairs.
Right.
So they went downstairs, but going downstairs where I daven doesn't mean going to
a shelter.
It meant going down to the Simchas Torah Kiddush, which was on the lower floor. And that's how it all began. And then what Rookie described, we heard in our house, because we had invited our Mechutanim's children to
Yontif lunch.
To Shalashuddas. They wanted to come to Shalashuddas with our kids. And Ari Tager was gone.
He's gone by then, right? Yeah. Along with hundreds of thousands of others, or maybe at that point only tens of thousands, but you get my point.
Our two grandsons are in the IDF, and so meaning
serving now or called up as reservists.
No, our one grandson was they're both serving now. Actually, one is in the military in cyber intelligence, something called Shimona Matayim 8200.
Right, we've heard of that. Sure.
And the other's in Hezder. He's in a tank unit in Yeshivat Haaretzion.
Could you address this for a moment? That as much as it's difficult for a grandparent and certainly parents to sleep at night when their child or grandchild is assigned to be in Army service, this episode has made it impossible. I don't know how your children are sleeping when their children are doing the types of things you're referring to, but, and this is, by the way, being played out all over, we need to say this to the American audience, it's being played out all over Israel. People who sit all day and night especially worrying about their children.
I wanted to say that I mentioned to my daughter that she has truly become Israeli.
Yeah.
Because what I see from her is just an attitude that this is the only choice. The boys are in the Army. That's where they have to be.
Right.
They have to serve.
And the boys feel that way.
Oh, without a doubt. Any time we visited the soldiers in the bases, we have just found their attitude to be so positive, to be so dedicated to where they are and what they're doing, and to see those smiley, boyish faces with their...
They look like little kids to people like us.
For us,
totally.
So we, and I just want to echo what Rookie said. I grew up with the expression about Israel, Ein Breira. Right? No choice. And then now we're living Ein Breira. And, we have been to many bases. We try our best to see soldiers from all different units. Of course, we go to our grandson's base. But when we go to our grandson's base, we bring supplies for all the boys in his unit. So we don't bring just for our grandson gets exactly
it's
what...
It's not like visiting day.
No, that's right. It's not like...
Everybody gets.
And they all get the same thing.
And we might also add that on some of the trips, our grandson wasn't even there.
Right.
Because we couldn't see him. He was in his tank
but
somewhere.
But they're expressing love and solidarity for his comrades.
Exactly.
I mean, the people that he's serving
which
with.
Is what he wants
right.
us to do.
Right. Of course.
He said, don't wait for me to get out. I don't know when I'll be out for a respite. Go. They need the equipment now. Just go.
And the sandwiches that we bring from the local with the schnitzeleria.
Oh, that already sounds like a good sandwich. So, and we're speaking to Rabbi Heshy and Rookie Billet. So, aside from the base visits, what else do people in the U.S. need to know that people like you are doing to try to help out? Tell me about some of the Chesed projects you've seen or been involved with. What's really stuck out in your mind over the last 5 weeks?
So, we belong to a shul called Kehilat Eretz Chemda. The rabbi named Pinchas Biton, who's up north, serving as a Rav Tzvai. We actually visited him up in Kiryat Shmona.
He's in reserves. He has
he's
a
in
family.
Reserve, but yeah. He has a family, yes.
That
but,
area of the country is essentially deserted
that's,
aside from
that,
Army.
Well, that's right. It's deserted except for the Army. You're right. That's right near the Lebanese border. We have our shul, which is led by a fellow named Alex Katz. And there's a guy named Richard Norman, who's in charge of the drivers. And they send stuff and things all over the country. They're officially, they've been designated as the place responsible for all clay kodesh, all, things of Kedusha.
Tzitzis,
it all comes from Eretz Chemda. And they've also been able to go to places where helmets come in for the army and the equipment, and they send it out in total coordination with the IDF and with the IDF chaplaincy to the entire country. It's a real honor to be part of that community.
Wow.
Every week there are challahs that are baked that are brought.
My department.
I'm not going to tell.
The rabbi's not doing the challahs?
No, the rabbi sometimes drives the challahs to the bake.
There you go.
But Rookie last week baked 60, 120 lechem mishnah.
May I speak about my own stuff?
Please, yes. Go ahead.
Thank you.
We're used to
thank
this at
you.
Home.
Exactly. I grew up at a time that, and you had I think the doctor that you had before mentioned something like we are beside all the other doctors.
Correct.
And one of my early lines was there's no women that are behind men, but they are beside. Mm. And
we all agree with you, by the way.
Okay. And
let me just check with your husband.
I'm behind her.
There you go.
So I just wanted to say one of the groups in Eretz Chamda is also something called Women's Initiative, and I'm not saying that women are only relegated to cooking, baking, and other things like that, but we make meals for both families that have been relocated.
It's another whole topic.
We make meals for families whose the father of the family is in Milu'im.
Right.
We every week, Rachel Katz collects hundreds and hundreds of challahs, and they're distributed, as Heshi mentioned, all over the country. We've been bringing, you know, to our grandson's base. We bake cookies also to give to the boys. I must admit, I hope it's politically correct to admit it, that I make tzitzis. I make a lot of tzitzis. At the beginning, we were told only women could only make Sephardic tzitzit because that's the sock of the Shulchan Aruch, but the Rama says differently. And
well,
then,
you're a yotzer halacha. I would ask you the question whether you can or not.
Then Rav Usher Weiss and others came up and said women can also do tzitzit for Ashkenazim. So I try to do that in my spare time and in the car, in the long car rides to the bases and things like that. We hosted a family who was relocated from Ashkelon and their children for a couple of weeks. They wished to go back, but they said that too much trauma there with the air raids and for the kids and so on. So we're trying to do our part.
And I want to say that a lot of people are trying to do their part. There's an incredible spirit of volunteerism all over the country. I do want to also mention something that we're involved with, and it's just blown us away, and that's Shai Groucher.
Yeah.
We're going to be at his warehouse tomorrow picking up some stuff to bring to the Army base.
What area is that in? Where is that?
Shai lives near Modi'in. It's called Mevo Beit Choron. Huge warehouse.
Yeah.
He's just an incredible man.
And they call him a chesed machine.
Yes, and we spent the day with him, actually. We actually were listening to the doctor speak about Taylor Shomer.
Right.
Sheba
Taylor Shomer.
It's the same
place.
Yeah.
So we visited amputees when they heard I was a rabbi, and a lot of them are not Orthodox Jews. They asked me to give them a bracha misha berach. I put my hands on each soldier's head, and I know the Misha Berach by heart, and they were crying. Their parents were crying. They wanted that bracha. They wanted that tefillah. It was an incredibly moving experience. We went to a drone base, not the drones in boxes, but much bigger drones, and we got a little bit of an education about drones. And
The washing machine project.
Oh, gosh. He's very creative. That's one of the
things.
He now has a hot bath project.
The spa.
And he has a tremendous, he has a very warm personality. He's very, very captivating.
Reminds us of his father,
Yeah, his father, Daddy, was a, we knew Daddy very well.
Sure.
And his uncle, Tzvi Sand, is also in a tremendous Baal Chesed.
Yep.
And, we're going to see Shai tomorrow. And, it's just, he lifts you off he puts you in the sky and say, wow, what an incredible man.
Yeah, a lot of simcha around him. You're a rookie, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I wanted to also add that one of the things that we've also felt very gratified by was the agricultural projects that we've involved in.
Right.
So our son, Dovi, made a connection with a olive grower in the north in a place called Yavniel, and we've gone there 5 times, once a week, each
week.
Why
did we go? Because he had Thai workers and Palestinian workers. The Thais left. The Palestinians don't come. So and the olive crop has to be picked now, otherwise.
And is that what you're doing?
Yes.
Every week.
You are picking olives.
For five weeks, once a week, we drove up to Yavniel, which is near Kinneret. It's all the way up the west coast, and you have to cross the country to the east side, literally right by the Kinneret.
Right.
And we have spent 5 days picking olives. Yesterday, we went to another farm to pick cauliflower, and we're trying to help the farmers. And to get
and another day, I picked Rimonim.
Pomegranates.
Yeah. And
is the rabbi efficient at picking cauliflower? I need to know that, rookie.
The rabbi is efficient at being given direction by his wife, and he tries his best.
I mean, what's your olive per hour rate?
I've been married for 52 years. I still haven't lived up to the standard. But I try.
I have to imagine that rookie is faster at picking olives than you are. Am I right or wrong about that?
Rookie is faster at everything. She's more efficient. She's more responsive.
Yes, diligent, multitasker.
She's diligent, right? She concentrates on everything. She reminds me to wake up out of my stupor. I said, she is like Shomer Yisrael, Lo Yonum V'Lo Yishan.
I think you're getting the signal to end this part of the conversation.
No, she just doesn't want me to say anything too cute, which I'm not trying to say.
You have to help me address the American audience. If you were still a rabbi, for instance, in one of the largest congregations in the United States, which you were for many, many years, you know, aside from trips to Israel, obviously to report to your congregation what's going on here, you know you'd be surrounded by thousands of people, and you probably have gotten these reports, thousands of people who want to help, thousands of people who are really taking a strong interest, even more compared to, not in the criticism, but in 2014 and wars that lasted, you know, a few weeks in those eras, you know, there was a tremendous amount of volunteerism, financial assistance coming from your shul, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What would you say to people today? If you were at the pulpit now, what is the message, especially when you're now speaking to a group that wants to be as involved as possible?
So my successor, Rabbi Axelrod, with a whole group of other rabbis, there have been RCA missions that have come to Israel. I think the rabbis have been taken around. They've had an opportunity to see some of the very difficult things to see, like the autopsy rooms and things like that, but also to see the chesed that goes on. And they go back to the community, and I think certain things, you know, you were my student, so you know that one of the words for money is damim, and blood flows in the body, and money makes things happen also. Correct. So the rabbis have raised tremendous amounts of money. They have sent over bag loads of different items. I have found that a lot of the people who have been forced out of their homes are not interested in used clothes. You know, they have a certain sense of honor and dignity. Right. They're interested in new clothing.
They don't want people's hand-me-downs.
They don't want hand-me-downs, right? A lot of them. I'm sure some of them will take hand-me-downs. There are some very poor people in this country. So I think that the Jews in America, they could pray. We believe that prayer is important. They could contribute. They could come and volunteer if they have the opportunity. There's plenty of things to do in this country. I know.
Can I recommend that some of those people speak to you?
Absolutely. Some people from my former community have been in touch with us, and we've been able to send them to different places to what to do. Absolutely. In fact, tomorrow there's a couple from our community who don't know what to do. They want to do everything. They're coming with us to our grandson's army base, and then they're going to another army base to make a barbecue. They want to buy stuff. They just want to buy things for the soldiers. They don't know what to do next for the soldiers.
If they want to help families in the hotels, you'll know how to guide them.
Absolutely.
To do that as well.
Yes. Families are in the hotel.
There are so many English-speaking chats on WhatsApp that give lists of possible activities every single day. So I've been forwarding those to anyone who asks me.
We should mention Rookie's the one who writes the updates, right? seriously, because if people follow you guys on Facebook, they will be able to see a lot of stuff.
So I have to say that
I don't do Facebook,
Rookie,
but he does. Right.
I don't do Facebook either. I only post on Facebook. And I have to say that the last post, for example, was written exclusively by Rookie. The other posts, I have contributed large sections, but Rookie is also a fanatical grammar person, and so everything has to be grammatical.
Because we know Facebook needs proper grammar, we know that.
Well, so Rookie, a lot of the posts have been joint posts. and edited by Rookie.
Well,
and
very important information.
We try to give information that we see from through our eyes. Obviously, we're not in the Army, but we're at Army bases every week. We go to bases.
And you're in the Chesed Army.
And I have to say, my son has also organized twice in our Army base up near the Lebanese border. These soldiers, if God forbid there is a war in Lebanon, they're going in. So each week for 650 soldiers, he has organized with his friends who have also a Woodmere couple. They've done pizza, pasta, salads, and music.
All catered,
baked at the oven, baked on this, not stuff
on
that
the
was
premises.
Baked.
Mm-hmm.
We came up with ovens, and we've been there, and they're incredible. And we've always had Mariv, and I called Gedalia Zlatowicz to tell him. There were Art Scroll Daf Yomis on the table there, and in Shai Grauscher's warehouse there are
tens
huge
of
amounts of that and all the other, and they give out free clothing to people. It's just incredible.
Yes, one of the things that we did with Shai Grauscher also was visit homes of bereaved families, for example, in Ofakim, and we tried in our own way to give them some chizuk and try to offer them some words of comfort, based on our own grief experiences and being in the rabbinate for so many years. And it's just so, so painful to see these wonderful families bereaved of loved ones, and sometimes more than one loved one in the same family, because they lived in the South where there were just these horrendous, brutal.
Yeah, the method of how their relatives left us is also a factor for
and
sure.
But I also want to say something about the children. You just imagine, if you're an adult, you have an ability to focus. You understand the concept of death, and you understand that there are setbacks in life, and you learn to cope with these things. Children, this should not be something that little children have to deal with. And so you just remember, when you see families, you're also seeing children. And that is, with Chai, whenever we go to a house with children, he brings toys.
Right.
He just brings toys. Their faces light up. He'll bring them an iPad. He'll bring them this. Their faces light up. So you have to have a sense of the kids also that are so deeply affected by this.
Finally, and not just because we're in this building, although we are very appreciative to Nefesh B'Nefesh that we have a temporary studio here. There are people in the United States who now are considering more than ever, because of the subtle, open, and violent acts of anti-Semitism going on in different areas of the U.S., who are seriously now considering making a move. You've done this already, not for the same reason, obviously. It was a different era. In fact, I feel bad now, because I end up making Aliyah in the next couple of years. People are going to think it's just out of fear. But what message do you have to everyone listening on this topic?
They should go to France. I think that, sometimes you get the impression when there's a war that this is such a place that's not safe. The fact is that this place is very safe. We feel very secure. We feel very comfortable. We walk the streets. We're not constantly looking over our shoulders as who's following us. This is a wonderful place to live.
In Jerusalem,
Master. Look, there are different places. Right. When we drive to Yavneel, we drive through the Meshulash, the triangle. We pass a lot of Israeli Arab places. There are Israeli Arabs who are incredible. This guy,
Yosef Haddad.
I don't know if you're familiar.
Sure.
He's incredible. There are Israeli Arabs who are credible, and then there are those who are hostile and who support the evil empire Hamas is doing. So I think that everyone has to make decisions based on Parnassa, based on the best interest of their children and their parents.
Right.
Some people have to take care of elderly parents. There are all sorts of factors that go into all the decisions. But I think that ultimately, if you're a Jew and you have the opportunity to come to Israel and you can make a living, this is a great place to be, a great place to raise children. We have two children and 10 grandchildren living in Israel, and two great-grandchildren already living in Israel.
And your grandson-in-law.
And a grandson in law. Absolutely. He's British.
You've married off a grandchild already.
And yes, to a Brit. And we appreciate the Prime Minister of Britain. He gave an incredible speech. Not like the wiffle waffle, the wishy washy French. This is a wonderful place to be. But, you know, I was a rabbi in America for 44 years, 40 years in one shul and 44 years in another shul. So I'm, in a certain sense, not one to speak that make aliyah when you're young. The message is important. Yeah. And I think that this is a great place to be. And you don't have to be in Jerusalem. Harotza Sheyachim Yadrim in the south. There are wonderful, wonderful places that
communities
that we've seen.
And people in this building can tell you about it. How many do you think from the Young Israel of Woodmere in 40 years, how many families made Aliyah? Even an estimate and any
it's
any
hard, clue? It's hard for me to say.
Can I assume it's in the hundreds or?
No.
Maybe somewhere between 50 and 100 maybe?
Between 50 and 100 families, I think, have made Aliyah. I think that the Young Israel of Woodmere has always been a very, very supportive shul of Israel and a lot of projects in Israel. Yeah. And they're very generous people. They've funded many, many things.
You brought countless projects to their attention.
And they've traveled to Israel and they've gone on missions and they try their very best. And they're, I would like to also give a shout out, if I may, to Russell Robinson and JNF USA.
100%.
The incredible work that they do in the south and with water and with fire.
And now with the emergency campaign, helping a lot of people.
Their emergency campaign, we're so proud. We're proud that we're going to the States, actually, because we agreed in August to come speak at the JNF USA event in Denver. And we're so proud to count Russell as a friend and all the other wonderful people in JNF USA. And the great
another partner of Nefesh, by the way.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So
we're hitting all the points today, that's for sure.
Yeah.
What a delight this was. I'm sorry that it took a war to make this happen, but an absolute delight to speak to both of you on the air.
Thank you so much.
And I want to say, for me, it's tremendous nachas. First, to see Yigal, who's sitting there quietly by himself, and to see you, see all the great things that that you do. And I just want to just say, I just remember your father so fondly. He was such a great man and a great leader.
Great Zionist.
And he's raised great generations. And it's really, really a lot of personal nachas to see both of you. And also to be envious that you grow a much better beard than I can.
He did all right, rookie. He stayed away from the light stuff for the most part, right? I would say.
Tried.
Just wait till I get home tonight.
You don't want to be in the billet apartment this evening.
Now, there is a tent outside the apartment where every now and then I sleep outside in a tent.
Oh, and those who know the billets are laughing harder than those who don't. A real pleasure, and thank you. And biyachad ninatzeach.
Amen.
Yes, absolutely. And Shai Groucho will be very happy to hear that you said biyachad ninatzeach, because that is his slogan, and he lives it every 24/7.
And you have painted a picture of yachad for us, which I greatly appreciate. A big thank you to Rabbi Heshy and Rabbi Nid Rookie Billet. More coming up. This is America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning Radio Program. On listeners-sponsored digital radio around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com, on the Nahum Siegel Network, and, of course, on the beloved NSN app.